Does everybody have a copy of the lesson sheet? Anybody not have one? We'll bring you one. No charge. Everybody's got one. Everybody's ready to roll. What are you waiting for, Doug? Okay, so this is lesson two in our study of authority, recognizing, respecting, and practicing biblical authority. And we started this lesson just talking about our perception of, are you a spiritual being? And I told you one of the reasons I started it this way is because I saw an interview with Elon Musk, and he was asked that question. Do you have a soul? Was the question that he was asked. And he said, well, he says, I feel that I do. You know, I think I do. But as far as being able to say with definity that he did, couldn't do that. You know, and you look at that and you think, well, that's where I would be too. If it wasn't for the scriptures, if I didn't revere God and his word, then I wouldn't know if I had a soul either. I might be like Elon and think, well, I think I do. I don't know. And so that's why we started this the way that we did. I says, number one, here in our discussion questions, how do we perceive God and our spiritual nature apart from God's revelation? Can we perceive there is a God, and can we perceive, why would you even think that you might be have a soul? Can you perceive that you have a soul apart from God's revelation in his word? Can you?
Yes.
Okay. That's the argument, really, or the statement that's made in Psalm 19, 1 through 6. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows his handiwork day in the day. You know, so on and so forth. You know, God's creation indicates that there's a creator. And that's the argument that's made in Romans chapter 1 and verse 2. Turn over there. Romans is such an important letter. Romans chapter 1 and verses 19 and 20. Did I have two there? Yeah, I just said to. Verses 19 and 20 says, that which may be known of God is manifest or demonstrated in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him, of God, from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So it goes on to say, because that when they knew God, when they perceived that there was a God, they did not glorify him as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You see, even though God has given ample evidence of the fact that he exists, and the reasonable mind that God created us with will come to the reasonable conclusion that there is a God. Creation declares a creator, just like this church building declares a builder. It didn't just evolve out of the dirt. Any thoughts there? Okay, number two, how has God revealed himself to humanity? So we can perceive that there's a God, we can perceive that we have a soul, but how has God revealed himself to humanity?
Through his word.
And that's what the second half of Psalm 19 is about, you know. So that's why we need to revere His Word. We can't just, you know, a lot of people treat the Word of God as a buffet. You know, well, I'll take some of this, I'll take some of that, and I don't particularly like that, so I'm not going to embrace that. You know, no, what God has revealed is good for us. Any questions, any comments, any discussion there? Yeah, it's real easy to do. I mean, you know, just approach it from the standpoint of, well, look at this, and whatever you're looking at, whether it's a car or a chair or table, whatever it is. I said, did somebody design that? You know, the testimony of the thing designed declares that there's a designer. You know, so can you look at creation and say, well, yeah, this just happened, you know, that, you know, science, evolution, general theory of evolution says this all came about from a big bang in the universe eons ago. Well, that's an interesting theory, but you know what we do with theories, don't you? We test them. And we've been testing, blowing things up for a long time with everything from a firecracker to a cherry bomb to dynamite to nitroglycerin to atomic bombs. Huh? Hydrogen bombs. You know, just get a bigger bang, right? Has order ever come out of any of them? Yeah. I mean, just throw one up in the air. You don't even, you know, there was a big bang of something. Well, where did the something come from? You know, oh, well, I don't know. Say there wasn't anything, just a big bang. We can test that too. Same result. Design only comes about from a designer. So, yeah. So it's pretty easy to get somebody to acknowledge that there's a God. Just, and if they don't, just realize what you're dealing with. Okay. So, number three, John 4, verse 24, Jesus told the Samaritan woman, God is a spirit. Genesis 1 and verse 27 says, God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. So we draw a conclusion. Therefore, this necessarily infers that humans are spiritual beings in physical bodies. You know, our greatest deception is when we look at each other and we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say, we see a a male or a female. We see young or old. We need heavy or thin and all of those kinds of things. And we have a tendency to judge ourselves and judge others by whatever prejudices we bring into that viewing, don't we? And we see just something that is either, you know, appealing or non-appealing to the eye. You know, we make all kinds of judgments based upon what we see, but what we see is not who we are. Everyone is a spiritual being. Every person you pass on the highway, every person you see in Walmart or Kroger's or wherever you do your shopping, every person is going to stand before God on the day of judgment to give an account of their life based upon what's in this book. Dale.
Oftentimes, I think people in the world don't want to know nothing about it because they're enjoying their lives. They came up with some of the things that pray to the heaven, pray they come to hell.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, and that's the whole impetus for atheism. You know, why do you want to deny that there's a God? Well, if I acknowledge that there is a God, then I have to acknowledge that the Bible's true, and I'm going to be judged by it, and I don't want to acknowledge that, so I'll just deny God. How do you think that's going to work for you?
Yeah, it does, but not very good.
Yeah. Yeah. About like, well, how's it work for you if you want to deny the speed limit? I don't believe in the speed limit. Well, you're going to have to pay a fine, and if you're going fast enough, you're going to be in jail for a while, partner. Whether you believe in it or not, it's there. It's a reality, okay? And whether you believe in him or not, it's a reality.
You know, some of the popular four things of the scriptures and stuff like that, and, you know, over 2 Corinthians 3:17,
Paul was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
we don't do that in the way that he did. Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. who is made in the image of God. Yeah. Okay. Number four, can humankind know their purpose apart from God's revelation? No. Why? We are created by God without what? Without what? Without what? Jeremiah 10 and verse 23.
The way of man is not in himself, in Jeremiah.
Okay. So what do we call that? A deer knows its way and what it's supposed to do. A snake knows its way and what it's supposed to do. That's right. God created us without instinct. We do not instinctively know what we're supposed to do.
Our
thoughts are not responsible. You have to
tell us. You have to speak up. Our thoughts are not responsible. We have to be told.
Right. I mean, we might think different things and feel different things and all that kind of things, but as far as knowing what we're supposed to do, we don't know that. Apart from God's word, God had to reveal our purpose to us. Okay, but we do need to know our purpose. And God has revealed our purpose to us. What is our purpose? Fear God and keep His commandments. Okay, Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. Okay, why? Why does God want us to fear Him, revere Him, and keep His commandments? I mean, that... But,
that's how we show that we
love God, is by keeping His commandments. Okay. That was the purpose of Him making us. That was His whole purpose. Okay, think about this. Okay, go back to Psalm 19. The heavens declare... The glory of God. Okay. So the glory of the Creator. You know, the animals. Everything in God's creation gives glory to God simply because of their design and what they do and the harmony of all of it. It all glorifies the Creator. So we are to revere God and keep His commandments. To glorify Him. And that's what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount. When He said, you are the light of the world. And what He was literally saying there, God created you as human beings to be the light of the world. Now, we don't know how to do that apart from God's revelation of light. Okay? But He said... You are the light of the world. You're not lit to be put under a bushel. Okay? I put you on a pedestal, on a high place. Okay? You can't hide a town on a hill, okay, at night because the lights are on, right? Man is the pinnacle of God's creation. Okay? You're in a high place. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you're created to revere God and keep His commandments to glorify your Father in heaven. Okay? God is light. Yeah, John said, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Okay? But we don't know how to be that light apart from what he teaches us. And so that's why this study is so important. To revere God's word, okay, and then recognize how God has communicated that word to us. You know, how do you identify truth and establish truth? We talk about a study of authority, but this is really a study of truth and the application of truth, the revelation of truth and the application of truth. How did God communicate that truth to us? Okay. Number five. What has God revealed humankind's created purpose to be? Well, we just did that. Number six, by what standard will every person be judged? Okay, by the Word of God. And we've got all the references here, culminating with Revelation 20 and verse 12. John says, I saw the books opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books. Did you live your life? Did you fear God and keep his commandments to the glory of God? That's what's going to be in question that day. Well, I was a good person. What did Jesus say about that? No one good but God. You know, you've defined the definition of good down to what you guys have determined to be good. God is good. You want to be good, there's the standard you need to strive for. That's the standard he wants us to strive for.
We Christians use that term loosely as well.
Well, absolutely. Yeah. I had a person say to me, well, you know, I don't know. I know this is bad, but this is worse, and I'm just going to choose the lesser of the two evils. Okay? So what are you doing? What are you practicing? When you choose to practice the lesser of the two evils, what are you practicing? You're still practicing evil. It's just not as bad as that is. How does God look at that? Well, that's true.
I have a lady that worked with me at Fruit of the Loom, and she was a Catholic, and she tried to preach it to everybody, and she said one day, she said, as long as I don't commit the cardinal sins, I am okay. So one of the girls popped up and said, well, what is the cardinal sin that you're talking about? She couldn't answer.
How do you know you're not committing a cardinal sin, then? Where's that in the Bible? As long as you don't commit a cardinal sin, you're okay. See, and that's why faith comes by hearing. Where she heard that someplace, right?
She probably heard it all of her life because she had been raised a Catholic. Okay.
Anything, right? And so that was her faith. She believed it. She was trusting it. I don't know how you obey that if you don't know what a cardinal sin is, but she thought she was obeying it, right? Faith comes by hearing. Be careful what you hear. Examine what you're hearing. You know, I mean, that's what I would have asked her. I said, what's a cardinal sin? Well, I don't know what a cardinal sin. Well, how do you know that as long as you don't commit a cardinal sin, that you're going to be all right? Where's that in the Bible? You know, those are the things that I would try to get her to think about. Question her faith. Challenge her faith. You can do that in love, okay? All right. Number seven. Has God revealed His will for us in a way that we can understand? Yeah. Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18 says what? Okay, come now, let us reason together. You know, God is inviting us to reason together with Him. So He would have to know how to reason with us, wouldn't He, in order to do that? And He would have to know that we were created with the ability to reason with Him. God knows how to communicate with us. Doesn't matter what language you speak. God knows how to communicate with us through His Word. Okay. Yeah, very good. I like that. What was that reference again?
Isaiah 43:26.
Isaiah 43:26. If you have something to write with, you might want to write that in there at point four of the sermon outline. Isaiah 43:26. Very good. That's true. There are people who cannot understand. I mean, they don't have the mental ability to understand. God's mercy will cover them. But most people have the ability and therefore the responsibility to understand. Okay. Number eight. Has God revealed that He has granted humankind the authority to add to His Word or subtract from His Word, dependent upon the circumstances of any current generation? What has God said about His Word? Did He say that to just one generation? Yeah, I mean that's what He said when God gave Israel the law of Moses. Do not add to it, do not subtract from it, that you may keep My commandments. If you modify this in some way, then I don't have anything to do with your modification, is what He's saying. You're going your way, I'm going my way. Okay? I will not recognize your modification. You mean if we just change it just a little bit, just add one thing? Yeah, that's what He meant. Take away one thing? Yeah, that's what He meant.
You know, that's one of the things that I really have difficulty with, is when I found out that I had been lied to, I was extremely angry. And I had to not understand why other people don't search out the Scripture.
Well, yeah, lying is a big word. The ones who teach that don't know any better themselves. You know, it's a sad thing about it. You know, they've been deceived into accepting the lie and believing and trusting it. That's why they're teaching it. Proverbs 30, verses 5 and 6, every word of God is pure. And then verse 6, do not add to his words, lest you be found a liar. So what God had said about his law when he gave it to Israel still applied here in the time of Solomon. What about when you come over to the New Testament? Clearly, Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, he says, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. If anyone takes away from the words of this book of prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. And people say, well, that's just talking about the book of Revelation. Well, yeah, but the principle that he's talking about, adding to and taking away, that's applied ever since he gave his law. You know, it applies throughout all of his law. 2 John verses 9 through 11, whoever transgresses, okay, here's what God has given us. Now we go beyond that, okay, add to it. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in, taking something away, does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. I mean, to me, that's saying the same thing. Do not add to it. Do not take away from it. If you want to be in fellowship with God, he who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that bids him Godspeed is a partaker in his, what kind of deeds? Evil deeds. So what he's teaching is evil. Okay? Oh, it's just another doctrine. It's just another gospel. It's just another way. No, it's evil. It's evil. Okay? There's no such thing as another gospel. It's not an authorized gospel. You're taking an element that God has given us and you're perverting it and calling it what God has given us. You see, that's what's happening. Okay. Right. Whether you add to it or take it away from it. These brethren that he was addressing were adding to it. Well, you got to keep the Mosaic law too. No. No, you don't. You need to put it away. All right.
Jesus said in John 7, verse 16, says, my doctrine is not mine, but he who sent me.
Yeah. And what he means by that, it's not only mine, but more especially, it's my Father's. Okay. All right, so number 9, in what three ways has God revealed his will to us through his word? Okay, a direct statement. You know, we gave you the example there of Psalm 119 in the first 15 verses. You could just keep going, but I mean, I really like those verses because it just bam, 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 right after another. Your word, your testimonies, your commandments, your precepts, you know, all of that. You know, and they're all just different words that mean the same thing. A direct statement from God. Okay? Do this. So, an example of that, you must be born again. You must be born of the water and of the Spirit. And even if you don't understand it, it's still something you must do. Okay, so. So God's going to have to tell us what he means by that. How do we do that? All right? And he does that through direct statements too. Matthew 27, 24, what does that say? I'll turn over there with you if you want to. Give you a little bit of time. You can probably turn your pages as fast as I can. Matthew 27, 24. Oh, is this the one that I messed up? Did I give you the right one? Matthew 7:24. That's what that's supposed to be. Matthew 7:24. It'd be good if I was in Matthew 7. And verse 24 says what? Jesus said, he's concluding the Sermon on the Mount. Whosoever hears these sayings of mine and doesn't. So I have to hear, okay? And I have to do, okay? So John 8 and verse 24 . What does that say? Did I get that one right? No, that's not what I'm looking for. Might have wrote that down wrong. Anyway, let me see. Let me look at it real quick. Well, I'm sorry. I didn't say that right. All right. I know what I want. No, John 8. I was in Luke. John 8:24. We say this one all the time. Jesus said, except you what?
Believe.
Except you believe that I am He, you will die. So, by implication, you must believe. Okay, Luke 13:3-5. Except you repent, so you must repent. Okay, Matthew 10:32. Confess me before men. That's a direct statement. Mark 16:16. He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Direct statement. John 8:31-32. Abide in my word. Okay. Pardon me? Some people do. But yeah, that's a direct statement. Okay, so you've got all these examples of different ways that God communicates to us through examples. I've given you a list of several examples where God uses examples of Abraham and other men and women of faith that we should follow those examples, and then, of course, necessary inference, probably the easiest example. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. That necessarily infers every time there's a Sabbath day, you're supposed to keep it holy. Of course, that was for the Jews and the Mosaic Law, and only for the Mosaic Law. It didn't apply to the patriarchs. It only applied to those under the Mosaic Law. It does not apply to us, but if we are to lay by in store on the first day of the week, that whenever there's a first day of the week, that's when we're to lay by in store. Can we lay by on any other day of the week? No. So we'll get into generic and specific authority, but so we'll get into some of those things next week. Yeah, right, right. Yeah, that's what we said earlier. Okay, thank you.